Good morning, everyone. Small crew again. We're going to, I got a bunch of announcements we're going to handle first before we pray and get started. Firstly, next Sunday, aside from the fact that I will be flying in the air to go visit visit Ashley in Hawaii, it's tough life, I know. We may have a commercial shoot happening here on campus. So it's been a goal of mine and several people to try to get kind of regular and consistent shoots happening on this amazing iconic building and property to then take that cash and infuse it back into the property, like repaving the parking lot and playground and getting all new equipment and really trying to make the school and the church grounds nicer. And we see that as low-hanging fruit for income for the church. So we've been working behind the scenes for like the last 6 months trying to make that happen. And so we have somebody coming today to look, and there may or may not be a shoot next Sunday. If there is a shoot next Sunday, that would mean most likely that we would have to have our service at 1:30. They're going to be shooting from 6 in the morning to 1 p.m. Gabriel has said he can give a sermon at that time. I'm going to talk to the director today to see if maybe without music we could still have a small service that should basically just be like prayer and scripture reading and then the sermon. But probably it's going to mean that it'll be at 1:30. So what we would do is call you few and let you know. We won't know till Tuesday because they're looking at several other churches. So on Tuesday we would know, then we would call you and let you know what time the service is, whether it's going to be small pared down at 11. It would also mean that we can't park in the driveway, most likely, so parking might be a little bit more tricky. They're going to have a crew of like 60 people here and most likely be shooting down in the fellowship hall. But there's a lot of unknowns at this point, so you want to be flexible for next Sunday, and we'll know on Tuesday, so expect a phone call by the end of Tuesday, and I'll also post it on the website. There's a bulletin section on our website where all the sermons are being posted. Sometimes I've been a little late, but we're actually going to, I think, have Daniel's sister start take over that, and so then those would be happening very much on time. But anyhow, the website should be more and more of a place you go to for information when we have to change it. But for next Sunday, we will call you when we know what's going on, if the shoot's going to actually happen. That's the first announcement. The second announcement, which is a much bigger and more important announcement, is that our dear, dear friend who has been responsible for so much of the building's improvement over the years, Hector Diaz, saved our bacon time and time again, and we want to do something for him. I don't know what I'm allowed to tell. I'm just going to tell it, Hector, and so sorry if you're upset, but Hector has given a huge amount of money that will enable us to pay off any of the debt that we've had that's still a misunderstanding with the government that we're working through, and so we aren't really worried any longer about any of the stuff that we were worried about previously after Dad passed. It is a huge, huge deal, and we are going to dedicate the garden area to Hector and his late wife, Lupe, and I'm going to get a nice bronze metal plaque that is staked into the ground. We're still working on the title. Our board voted on this morning as a thank you to everything that Hector's done. And I cannot say it with enough love and emphasis, Hector. Thank you so much for what you've done for this church. You may not know this, but all of the large trees in the garden area are either imported from or were chosen because they grow naturally in Israel. So this happened in, I want to say, late 60s, maybe early 70s. I think late 60s. So all those trees are either literally imported from or native to Israel. And so as we look to beautify it and add to it over the coming year, we want to stay in alignment with that because I think that's pretty rad. So we'll be doing our research on what kinds of things would grow there that will also look beautiful and work here. So it's a pretty cool thing, and we're excited about, A, honoring our dear friend and his wife, and also improving the grounds further. So those are the two big things next Sunday, and our man Hector. And with that, let's bow our head in prayer, and we'll get started. Lord Jesus, it can be so dark at times. It can be so difficult at times. You can feel like the waves are never going to stop crashing and be incredibly demoralizing and hard to keep moving forward. And in the blink of an eye, it can change. And at other times, it can be a slow tide turn. And I feel the tide turning here at this little church, Lord God, in this wonderful school. I feel the tide turning that we might go on in your name, Lord God, that we might create a place that people can come to, not for us, but to connect with you for themselves, for their own health, a place that shines your light in the world, Lord God, in a way that breaks through preconceived ideas about you, in a way that breaks through preconceived ideas in regards to Christianity and what it means to be Christ-like. Lord God, we are so grateful for this opportunity, and we take it seriously, and we will move forward. But we thank you for the tide turning. We thank you for this place. And we ask that you come now, this morning, and fill us up with your love and fill us up with your strength. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. We're going to sing an old one and sing hymn number 63, All Creatures of Our God and King. And please stand with me if you have the strength.
But of course.
Claro que sí, ma'am.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, oh, praise him, oh, praise him, Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise him, alleluia. Thou rising morn in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a voice, oh, praise him, oh, praise him, alleluia, alleluia, Alleluia. Thou flowing water, pure and clear, make music for thy Lord to hear. Alleluia, Alleluia. Thou fire so masterful and bright, thou givest man both warm and light. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. And all ye men of tender heart, forgiving others, take your part. Oh, sing ye, Alleluia. He who long pain and sorrow bear, praise God and on him cast your care. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him, Alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Short and sweet, wins the race. We're going to stand and sing some praise with slides today, which is awesome.
It can be taught.
It can be taught. You can learn these things. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way.
bring me back to you.
Draw me close once more.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else could take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way to bring me back to you.
Once more,
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
No turning back.
turning back.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Reading from the book of Acts, chapter 15, the Council at Jerusalem. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported that all that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. And there had been much debate. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are." All the people kept silent, and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, "Brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. With this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After these things I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago.' Therefore it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are returning to God among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, and from fornication, and from what is strangled from the blood, and from blood. For Moses, from ancient generations, has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, with the whole church, to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren, and they sent this letter by them. The apostles and the brethren, who are elders to the brethren in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, who are from the Gentiles, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number, to whom we gave no instruction, have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls, it seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send you to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials, that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourselves free from such things, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent away, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message. After they had spent time there, they were sent away from the brethren in peace to those who had sent them out. But it seemed good to Silas to remain there. But Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching with many others also the word of the Lord. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia, and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches.
My sister asked me to call. Ash!
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can't hear me?
No, I can hear you.
Okay, all right. So, sorry, she had asked me. She's in Hawaii, poor thing. Can you imagine if you weren't here and you had to be on some, like, sandy beach, coconut with a little umbrella in it? No, thank you. So she asked that she's going to be listening in. But you have to put your phone on mute so none of your kids come in and ruin my sermon.
Okay.
All right, just kidding. And don't hang up after the sermon because I won't talk to you.
Okay.
All right. It's good to see everybody. I would like to. It is a testament to Hector's character that not only has he done such good things for this place, but he is mum's the word. I'm getting better at my humility, but in the past I tended to seek praise for my good deeds. So to like do something so big, and to help so many people, and to do it with such a humble spirit, dude. I mean, I just can't thank you enough. I really appreciate it. He's such a good dude. And there's a lot of what I was going to talk about today that kind of incorporates into that. But before we get down to the nitty gritty, I wanted to talk about some history. Just a fun fact that I learned this week when I said nitty gritty. You know the term nitpicking? Back in the 1700s, 1600s, really, with Louis XIV and Charles II, those big Captain Hook wigs came into fashion. And that was because as a nobleman, you were expected to be strong and virile. And so if you were like balding in any way, which many of them had gotten from like syphilis, then that was seen as like, so that's why they started wearing those wigs. But they didn't shower back then. So they would get fleas and everything. So if you were a rich man, even a rich woman, you would have your wig, but that wig would get filled with all kinds of gross stuff. And the eggs of fleas are called nits, and so you would give it to your manservant or whatever, and he would use a tiny comb. Like if any of you have ever had, like, there's lice at school, and then you got to take your kids home and come through that's nitpicking. And so to nitpick is to, like, try and look at the smallest thing. And I thought that was interesting. But so the history lesson, I have been doing a lot of reading about the early church. And I think it's very important to remember these things as we're going through, especially the book of Acts and the letters. Today, when we think about church and Christianity, most of us have preconceived notions of what that is, right? When we come to church, there are things we expect to do, right? We're not going to play Dungeons and Dragons here. We're going to pray. We're going to read the scriptures, right? We're going to sing maybe. Because we have 2,000 years of built-up tradition now. But it's important to remember that when Christianity first starts, many people who came to Christ had no idea what that meant. So Paul, once again, we're going to deal with him on a number of occasions, and Barnabas or Peter or any one of the apostles comes through and they speak in power. The Holy Spirit invades these people's hearts and they say, boom, I want some of that. And then Peter says, all right, cool, see ya. And he moves to the next town. And so they're loving it, right? But then the next week they got to meet and have service. But Peter's not there. Well, what are the rules then? Are we allowed to drink? What if I'm married and I die? Who should take care of my wife? Right? There's all these like little questions. So that's why they're writing to Paul constantly. And Paul and Peter and all of them are kind of writing these letters addressing these individual problems that may have come up. Even Paul, who is, in my opinion, somebody who is a bit of a bandwagoner. I don't know if nobody was a Warriors fan back in the 90s, right, Jed? Nobody liked the Golden State Warriors because they were garbage. They had Chris Mullin, and that's it. But when I became a teacher in the 2010s, everybody became a Warriors fan because Steph Curry and they were started being good, right? So Paul is, in a way, trying to make a name for himself. He disagrees with Barnabas. When the Romans start persecuting the Christians, it's easy for us to live in the time that we do. Even people with whom I disagree about politics or religion or any number of things, I'm not worried that they're going to kill me and enslave my children. We live in a life free of care in many ways. The early Christians, if you were found to be a Christian, the punishments were real. Feed you to a lion, tie you to a stick and burn you, right? Crucify you, any number of gruesome deaths. And so when the Romans would come and hunt Christians, they would say, if you repent from your Christianity, then you get to live. So some of them, and I don't know which one I would be, probably one of the people who repented, would, even though they were Christian, because they didn't want to be burned or mauled or who knows what other terrible things, would say the prayer to Caesar and then like try and double cross, right? Some Christians, the martyrs, said, no way, dude. No way. And they would die for their beliefs. And then some people didn't get caught. But then the church is left with these recusants. People who doubled back on their faith and they come back and they're like, I'm sorry. And they're like, well, Ezekiel got eaten by lions, man. So what does the church do with these people? Right? And different church leaders have different views on that. But when they're writing all of these books, they're trying to figure it out. Right? Jesus gives us the core tenets, but then he goes and he sends the helper to help us figure it out. But the people of the time are entrenched in this belief that knowledge comes from the guy ahead of you. After World War II, when they round up all the Nazis, everybody's like, hey man, I was just following orders. All of the early Christians are saying, hey man, I'm just following orders. Because that's the easier way. And Paul says, it's not through works, but by faith through grace you're saved. So you can't do anything. You're already condemned. You're already a piece of garbage. And it's only because you believe in Jesus that you find any redemption at all. So therefore, works are completely irrelevant and superfluous. I would say that that is one of the biggest lies that he has foisted upon us. Because it's not only through faith and grace, but the works that get you where you want to go. If I say, I'm going to start eating right and working out tomorrow, then tomorrow wakes up, and Aiden says, can we order Chipotle? Sure. I'm going to work out and start eating right tomorrow. Nothing happens until I start working on it. It's not through faith and grace. It's through the work. Taking up your cross every day, being a better person, that's where the salvation comes. That's not even all the things I'm going to talk about, Mom. I was talking with Steve a little bit about the words of the Bible. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but the New Testament is written in Greek. Let me back up a little bit. We look at ourselves now as the penultimate human beings, and we have knowledge that makes what people knew 200 years ago seem pretty silly, right? Putting leeches on and bad humors, right? And we think, how stupid they are. We know so much more, right? If you look at an atom, which you can't do because they are so small, the atom is made up of three components: neutrons, which have zero charge, protons, which have a positive charge, and electrons, which orbit the nucleus of protons and neutrons, have a negative charge. And they all the numbers have to add up to make the atom stable. If you have more protons than electrons, then the atom is unstable and it'll blow up and release energy. That's bad. And if you have more neutrons, then it'll steal, and right? But there is actual literal space between the nucleus and the electrons. So if you look at your hand is made up of atoms, right? And there's actually space between each one of the cells and atoms in your hand, but it's so small that you can't see it. But then if you look at that wall is made up of atoms, and there are space between those atoms and electrons and neutrons. Quantum physics says that if I walk at that wall enough times, sooner or later I will pass through it, because the spaces between our atoms will match up, given enough tries. Does that make sense? Now, some people say, well, you know, Jesus, being the Son of God, could manipulate his atoms, and so therefore he could pass through the wall. And so what looks like a miracle to us is really just science. Did that track? In 1,000 years, what will they know about Jesus, about heaven, about the universe, about the cosmos that we don't know now? They could explain all of the things we have to take on faith. The ancient Greeks believed that the earth was created when Uranus, the god of the sky, and Gaia, the god of the earth, laid together. I'm glad Annie left. Right? And they laid together and they had a child named Kronos, and that's time. And once they laid together, then time is created and you're off to the races. Right? Now, of course they think that's how creation began, because they're humans who lacked the knowledge of the Big Bang and the James Webb telescope. So if somebody says, how did all things come into being? Well, two gods got together. That's how it happened. Then if you look at the Old Testament, how did all things come into being? Well, God woke up one day and he said, let there be light. And then he got tired and he went to sleep, and then he woke up the second day. Are we to believe that that's still the way things happened? The Big Bang, described by science, explains how all things came into being. First there was light, the Big Bang. And then masses started to come together. And then there was the earth and the sky, right? Science explained to us what we had already known, that God created it. Did he create it by waking up out of his big bed and speaking words that... Or did it take billions of years? But to God, billions of years are a day. On the sixth and final day, he created humans in his image. That has given rise to the idea that humans look like God. So therefore, God must be a big old dude with a beard, living somewhere in a cosmic... But I would argue that the image that we are created in his likeness is not in our form, but in our function. God did not come into earth as a buffalo or a lion because they lack his image. They lack his cognitive prowess. It can't be anybody else. It has to be us because we're the only ones that can do what needs to be done. To listen to the Holy Spirit, to think about what he's saying, and do the work. That's the only way it happens. When I was talking with Steve, the first chapter of John, my favorite book, says, "In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That the word, the Greek word, is logos, which means knowledge. In the beginning was the knowledge, and that knowledge was with God, and that knowledge was God. And he created us in his likeness to be able to interface with him. But we lack the logos at our current state to fully understand him. But that doesn't mean that we won't in the future. Each discovery made by scientists explains a little bit more. And I'm not a quantum physicist, Stephen Hawking kind of guy, but I still have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit that helps me and guides me. I had a cat named Lulu, and she, like most cats, would knock everything off a table that she saw. From now until the day she dies, Lulu will knock things off the table. She can't not knock things off the table. Or sleep on your chest when you're laying on your back. But I am not the man that I was 10 years ago. Thank you, Jesus, I'm not the man I was 10 years ago. Because I have the Logos. And when I humble myself and do the work and listen to him, I gain more of it. Because that's my capacity. I'm in his image. That's kind of shorthand. He has the capacity for knowledge. He's given that to me. But the enemy is the antithesis of that, and he wants ignorance. So he says, no, you can't know. That's impossible for you to know. Just shut up and listen. That's why Karl Marx says that religion is the opiate of the masses. The idea that you can keep the people in their terrible state because they're just waiting and not doing anything. But not me. Not us. We continue to work because that's what we're meant to do. I've been thinking a lot, especially during the summer, I'm not so busy, about being a pastor and what that means. I remember when I was a kid, people would say, "Hey, Dad's a pastor, when you grow up, you're going to be a pastor?" And it like scared me and angered me because I looked at how my dad lived, like praying 4 hours a day. I don't want to do that. So I was like, no. And now that I find myself in this position for however long it lasts, I want to be as best I can at it. So I need to gain logos. And so I'm thinking about what that means. The Dalai Lama is the head of the state of Tibet, as you know, and his country has been taken over by the Chinese. And Tibet was one of the only countries that I've ever heard of that didn't have a military. They didn't have, like, any kind of defensive force. So the Chinese army was just able to walk in there, and they were, like, you know, praying against them, and that didn't seem to work. The Dalai Lama fled. This was back, like, in the 50s. and has been traveling around ever since, meditating, praying, and kind of advocating on Tibet's behalf. And everybody, even people who are not Buddhists, respects the Dalai Lama. They respect him because of the logos that he has, the knowledge that he has. And he got that knowledge by doing. He got that knowledge by spending time praying, meditating. Now, I'm not a Buddhist, so I don't share Dalai Lama's belief system. However, I do recognize his knowledge, and I recognize the hard work that it would have taken to get that. Right? And so if I want to be the kind of person that has peace of mind and that has logos that other people respect, I can't do it by just talking up here every week. Therein lies the problem. How do we become the people that we always want to be? I try not to do it, but when you look on Instagram and you see everybody's facade, everybody has this imagined person that they are or that they're going to be. Whether it's in their physique or their finances or their travel and experiences or their avocado toast, whatever it is, what they want is not currently what they are. That's why you can go on Instagram and YouTube and find a million get-rich-quick schemes and lose-fat-quick schemes. The only two words that were the same in both of those were quick and schemes. We all want more money. We all want to be healthier in our bodies. But you don't get that unless you do the work. That's why I'm so blown away. Sorry, Hector, you're getting it all today. Blown away by a man like Hector doing the work. You ever meet somebody like an old friend? And you're like, hey man, we gotta have coffee sometime. But you both know you're not gonna get coffee. Just empty words. Oh yeah, man, I'm gonna do this and that and this and that and this. Empty words. It's the work that has to be done. If I come up here every week and rant and rave and clap my hands and yell at Aiden, and then go back to my own life living the way I was last week, there's no growth, there's no logos, there's no the thing that I want. How do I get it? Who on earth could have this answer? Gwyneth Paltrow? There are people who are wise in the world. My buddy Zoltan Hrodko is a wise man. He got that by doing stuff. He'd go to like retreats where you don't speak for a week, and he educated himself. He did the work. And his work paid off because now I look at him and I say, wow, that man, that's a man who's dedicated. He's got knowledge. I feel that about many of the people in this room. The knowledge that we have only occurred because of the work that we did. But we have to continue. So this week, we got to make a plan about how we're going to do that. It can be something frivolous. Not frivolous, like less of import. Like I want to, you know, save some money. I guess that's not as important. But or it could be something, I want to see the face of Jesus. Anything in between. The things that we want, we can have. With guidance through the Holy Spirit, matched with the work that we do. It's the enemy that wants us where we're at. 10 years ago, I was miserable. Can't even tell you. When the people come to fix the back house, they'll notice that some of the doors don't close. That's because I kicked them in. because I was in a relationship that was so miserable. The devil wants me there. He's going to fight to keep me there. He's going to fight to keep me where I'm at right now. It would be easy for me to say, well, I'm not miserable like I was, so therefore, I'm good. But I want to be in 10 years looking back at where I am now and think, look how much I've grown. And it's possible. People want to think you peak in your 20s and 30s. I look at the man that I was when I was in 20s and 30s. If I had a time machine, I'd go back and punch myself in the face. The man I am now is the man that I wanted to be then. And the man I want to be in 10 years from now, I will become by working. My son said something about, like, where I was like, we got to play video games. He's like, well, you can't get mad when we play video games. And I took offense. And my knee-jerk reaction was like, you get mad at it. And then as I was walking to the car, I was like, oh, yeah, I do get mad when I play video games. I got to work on that. I got to work on that. The devil's plan for me is not going to be the same one he has for you. I got stuck with the IRS big time. My weakness lies in small envelopes and paperwork and windows, numbered windows, window 1, 2, 3. I can't seem to... I can work out pretty well. I worked out yesterday right before work. Getting shredded, Hector. It's going to be awesome. But if somebody's like, hey man, you got to pay this bill by this... You got to go down to the courthouse and pay this $75 renewal thing. God, dude, I don't have the time. I got kids, man. I got work. And I'll think of a million reasons why I can't do the thing until I get a letter from the IRS saying, you owed us this much, so we're taking it from your job. And by the way, we charged you double that for making us send you this letter. Curses! They got me again, dude. That may not happen to Daniel because he enjoys the bureaucracy. But there might be something that he has a way of, well, I got to do this. You understand? The devil wants us right where we're at. Because there's no growth. And if there's no growth, then there's no life. So the question is, how do we listen to the Holy Spirit and analyze what's keeping us where we're at? And then having the courage to attack that plan. And it's so insidious because it's the thing that we are most susceptible to. Some people can have a glass of wine. That's it. Some people, if they have one, they'll have five. I can't seem to not eat sugar. Remember I talked about the ice cream last week? Jude and I made strawberry shortcake last night at 11 o'clock. That's why I get off of work. And then I had a tummy ache. Again. I just got to keep on working. But I am getting better in other ways. I got to take encouragement from my growth and use that courage to face into new tasks. I drove to the airport twice last week. Or maybe it was like in a week and a half. And both times, I was calm as Hindu cows. Is this traffic? Who cares? We'll get there when we get there, Todd. Parked in the thing, walking in the thing. That may not be a big deal for you, but for me, it is like, it's huge. And I got to remember that when I'm feeling down about myself, when I get the IRS, and I'm like, dang it, Gabe, you let it happen again, man. You let it happen again. You just pay the thing when you paid it, and then you wouldn't have to do all this. I do need to do that. But I can't look at that letter and be like, you dumb piece of crap, you blew it again. I got to work at it. I worked at the car. Now I work at the bills. And then I work at the prayer. And then I work at every single thing. Each new enemy that presents itself, I overcome. from now until I die when I'm 1,000. The work. How many people live lives that are sad? How many of us, the billions of humans on this planet, created in the image of God, capable of magnificent things, and we live our lives in drudgery? We live our lives in ill health. Now, what are you going to do? Just getting older. No. And I'm not going out like that. It can be mine. It can be yours. The man that I was, I no longer am. Because I did the work. It was scary often. It was painful sometimes. It was necessary always. But I keep on going because I can keep on going. Because just like the one who created me, my capacity is infinite. And it's not through a trick. It's not by imaginizing it. It's not by subscribing to it. It's by listening to the Holy Spirit, His wisdom, pointing out the things, and then having the courage to do those things. It's so simple. If you ask anybody, what's the best way to get in shape? Eat healthy and exercise. And yet, it's so difficult. Why is it so easy to boot up a PS5? Why is it so easy to sit down and have the glass of wine? Why is it so easy to scroll through the stuff? Because that's what the devil wants us to do. Because as long as I'm scrolling through the Instagram, I'm not working on project number one. Now, does that mean that I got to live like a monk? Go to a cave somewhere? I certainly hope not. I can play video games, but I gotta be more aware. And I did a little bit better this week. I spent more time with my children. It's not like I'm just playing video games for hours, but you know what I'm saying. You're done with work and you're tired and you could go do the thing like go to the gym or pay the bills or spend time with the kids, but you find yourself on your phone or whatever it may be for you. For me, it's video games. I'm getting just a little bit better. And the time that I spend with my kids pays dividends. That's why I think this place is so important. When I think back on my life of how many plans I had, how many, like, oh, I'm going to get this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to see this person, or I'm going to... And I look back at all the times they just fell apart, like they always do. Is that my life? Well-intentioned plans that fall apart? No. It will not be. It cannot be. As long as I'm doing the work. And as many times as I fall down, hope believes all things, hopes all things, love endures all things. It does not fail. As many times as I'm willing to try, He's willing to back me up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It's good and it's right. He would have us think about hell and who's wrong and how you get to heaven and just fritter away the time that we have. I'm not going to let him. We're not going to let him. Hector's not going to let him. Sam's not going to let him. We're not going to let him anymore. We can have it in our marriages, in our jobs, in our lives, in our bodies, in our children. We have the capacity for it because we're like him. Thank you for giving me this time. It's a blessing. Be blessed and encouraged this week. It's so easy to forget. We feel good, and then we go outside and somebody cuts us off, or we go outside and a kid says, "So what are we having for dinner?" Right? And it just robs us of the thing that we deserve. Just got to remind ourselves and do the work. Put it in your phone, like a reminder in the calendar. I don't know. My sister Ashley used to have these like big laminated calendars, and she'd put everything. I teased her once because she like put in her calendar, "Marry Chuck," because on their wedding day, to-do list, right? You got to marry Chuck on this day. You know, they pick up, you know, they go to the dry cleaners on Tuesday, marry Chuck on Thursday. Whatever it is for you, your system has to. The Lord will guide you if you're diligent. And one day, I'm going to call the IRS instead of them calling me. Like, where's my money? Can, and it will be ours. Thank you. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for this building, Lord. We know that you are love, Lord. And your capacity for love is infinite. We want to be those kinds of people. Give us the opportunity, Lord. Help us. Line things up for us. Help us in our financial endeavors. Bless us in our conversations with people. Help those who would come to this property to rent it. Help them to be encouraged and to see what this place really is. Bless us, Lord, in our bodies, in our minds, in our relationships, in our jobs, in our school. Your capacity is limitless. Help us to remember that we have that same thing. Remind us this week to work at it and give us the courage and wisdom to do it. Bind the devil's plans from us. Keep him at bay. Dismantle his plans before they even come to fruition, Lord. And help us live another week better than we were last week. And bring us back next Sunday full of hope and praise reports for the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen.
We're going to stand and turn to 713, 713, "Seek Ye First," and do both verses. It's short.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you.
Thank you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week. I'll try to remember in the future. And
I think I got it.
Okay.
But she also told me to give.
All right, bye.
conclusion that you're putting on. I haven't spoken with Judd about it. I don't know how long he's going to be there.
What did it look like? Is it like a wetsuit?
Yeah.
And I'm going to put some clippers. Huh?
Well, who's that?
Annie can come with us.
I don't know. Nobody. I have it
online. My dad has me. And you're going to come with me?
No, I was going to, I had a letter that I was going to give to you. I just got this morning from the cat.
My dad has me.
Who's coming with you? Okay, I better talk to your dad about Lily then, because Lily thinks that they're coming together.
I also
the
I will wait and talk to your dad. I'm supposed to be.
I'm a building here.
Thanks, Andrew.
Want to see the secret chat door?
Yeah, I got a really good.
This is heard from a guy who listens to heavy metal all the time.
that you can. Okay. Bye, Mom. I love you.